Tonight, turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. You know, if you put two people in a room, eventually they'll start arguing. And they'll start fighting among each other. It's just human nature. My message tonight is do not quarrel on the way. And we're looking at Genesis chapter 45, verses 3 through 24. And if you understand the reference, you know, understand that this is the story, continuing story of Joseph and his brothers and the dreams and everything else. But do not quarrel on the way. It was a commandment that Joseph gave his brothers in verse 24. But we're going to be looking at all these verses so we can get a sense for this. In Genesis chapter 45, verses 3 through 24, it says, "And Joseph said unto his brother, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" He just identified himself to them. "And his brother could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brother, Come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life." Could you say that? If you were in a similar situation, could you be that gracious? Verse 6, "And these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now, it was not you that sent me hither, but God." Romans 8:28 comes to mind.
Amen.
"That all things work together for good. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and the Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Haste ye and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt." Promotion comes from God.
Amen.
"Come down unto me, tarry not, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast." God wants nothing left out. "And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty." There is richness with God.
Amen.
And there is famine without him.
Amen.
"And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you." Remember, the first meetings he spoke through an interpreter, because he was speaking Egyptian. "And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall taste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph, brother, or come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto my brethren, This do ye. Lade your beast and go, get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt. And ye shall eat the fat of the land. Behold, I bring a new thing. It will spring up. And thou art commanded, This do ye, take your wagons out, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives and grain your father and you come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all of them he gave, each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt, 10 she asses laden with corn and bread, and meat for his father by the way. And here's our key verse. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. Notice I got fall highlighted there. The word for fall here is rajas. If you take off the end and put on an E, it means rage. And that's where we get our word rage from. Other translations will talk about a quarrel or a fight, or don't argue amongst yourselves or everything else. And so what Joseph is saying, said, you go back and you get Joseph and get everybody else and don't fight along the way. How many, if you had kids and you go on a long road trip, you get about 50 miles and then all of a sudden we said it was a caged critter syndrome that the kids start going after themselves. But Joseph gives them a command, says, look, go back. There's been a lot of water going under the bridge on this thing. And just go back and don't fight. And don't rage. See, in way of introduction, there are many excuses to start an argument. I'm not going to say reasons, because there's really no reason. We're supposed, as much as it's in you, to live peacefully with all men. But there are many reasons why people start an argument. Some of it is to prove your point. I'm right, you're wrong. We see that in politics today. We see that in social issues today. And there's a lot of conflict in our country just because people want to prove their point that they're better than you are. It all stems down to pride. You know, there was, when they did this to Joseph, there was argument at that time. Some wanted to throw him in the pit, some wanted to kill him, some wanted to sell him. But then another way you can start an argument is just to deny blame. That when you're guilty, the only thing you can do is just start arguing. And we know people like that. When they lose and they know that they're in the wrong, what do? They get angry. And they start yelling and screaming with no basis at all. But you know, there are just people. And every crowd's gone, they just stir up trouble. People just want to start an argument just to stir up trouble. The real issue is that arguments can detract from bigger issues. Twice in this passage, we see, hey, there's another 5 years of famine coming. They're already 2 years down. There's 5 more. There's a long-term problem ahead. And we need to deal with that instead of dealing with the pettiness of argument. But arguments can take us away from dealing with the real issue that's at hand. Arguments can take us away from God.
Amen.
Joseph also had the advantage of knowing his brother's history. And basically, hey, they argue before, they'll argue again. Just change! Don't be the same way. For once, just do what you need to do. And throughout here, we see the grace that God has given Joseph. And said, don't blame yourselves. God brought me down here. You sold me. You were just the instrument, but God brought me down here to save you all and to provide for you all. You know, sometimes God works in mysterious ways, not the way that you think is going to happen. So tonight I just want to look at three things real quick about don't quarrel in the way. And the first one is don't start one in the first place. There's a call for peace in our relationships. This may be one of those things that we want God to do a new thing in 2025 for. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. If you've been watching the TV, former President Carter passed away, and they've been talking about all his achievements. And most of his achievements didn't happen when he was president. It happened afterwards. Mm-hmm. The one notable one is that he brought the Camp David Accords that brought peace between Egypt and Israel. But he was known, and he actually got the Nobel Peace Prize. And one of the consistent things of all these things was that he was a peacemaker. And this verse was quoted. I find it refreshing that sometimes in secular documentaries you could find scripture quoted. Mm-hmm. But blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. See, God desires unity among his people. Mm-hmm. In Psalm chapter 133, verse 1, it says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And the rest of the psalm gives a word picture of what that's like. It's like ointment. It smells good. It looks good. It does good. It does all these things. When Christ was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying, he's talking, he's praying for his disciples, because he knows that there's the potential for dysfunction in them. In fact, after he washed their feet, there was a disagreement between a couple of them who was going to be greatest. John chapter 17, verse 22, it's part of God's prayer here. It says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be what? One. Even as we are one. So God desires unity among his people. Christ prayed for unity among his disciples. And he prays for unity for us. Reconciliation, secondly, reconciliation is God's will for his people. And for us to be peacemakers, and for us to be able to reconcile and not quarrel in the way, we need to start by being reconciled with God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. In verse 18, he says the same thing. And it's Christ that makes peace between God and man.
Amen.
Maybe the problem that people have with quarreling, I can tell you this right now, they're not children of God. Because the children of God be peacemakers. But reconciliation is God's will for his people. And it starts by being reconciled to God. If you don't understand the peace of God, you can't give peace to anybody else.
Right.
It continues with a commitment to God. In verse 20 here, we see that we are ambassadors, that we represent God. In verse 19, the previous verse, it says this. It says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the what? The word of reconciliation. You know how arguments start? They start with words. We need to use the right words. We need committed to be to using the right words here. Because it's God's will for His people. Be reconciled to God, and then be committed to God, and be ambassadors for God, and understand that we have the ministry of reconciliation, as it says here in this chapter. And then it concludes with this. A couple weeks ago, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And the issue is that we need to have love. We need to love God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 says this, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Yeah. See, if we don't understand God's forgiveness to us, we can't give forgiveness to anybody else, and we'll fight for our way, and we will cause a quarrel. And we'll quarrel in the way. That's not God's way. He wants a call for peace in our relationships. If we don't heed the call, there's the second problem here, is the danger of division in the midst of blessing. You need to understand what was going on here. Joseph's brothers and his father were not going to starve to death because there was a famine in the land. James chapter 4, verse 1 says, "From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust that war in your members?" If you're holding on to petty things against people, you're not a peacemaker. What you are is you're proud. And you need to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that He can raise you up. Unresolved conflict can hinder blessing. In Mark chapter 11, verse 25, it says, "And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses." Back when Christ was talking about the model prayer, when the disciples said, "Teach us to pray," He says, if you don't forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. Sometimes when we don't get our way, that's when conflict starts. So the danger of division in the midst of blessing is that unresolved conflict can hinder blessing. We just started out a new year. Why do we let God settle our differences? Why do we let God bring peace in our lives, in our families, in our workplace, in our church? Because unresolved conflict can hinder blessing. Divisions lead to destruction. In James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16, it says, "But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth." God is right. And your position, although it may be true, may not be right. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, essential, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is what? There is confusion and every evil work. And the wrath of God does not do the work of God. Mark chapter 3, verse 35 says, "And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand."
That's right.
Everything has to be fitted together. We went through the book of Ephesians and we studied that. And it talks about that we are on Christ as a foundation, and every part of us is as lively stones as Peter's took it. And that we're all fitted together and we're compacted into a building of God. That we're built up into a spiritual temple. Don't quarrel on the way. We're walking in God's way right now. We're on our way. We're marching to Zion.
Amen.
Let's have peace along the way. Let's not have division where that will rob us of what blessing. God, Satan wants to rob us of blessing. He wants to cause confusion. He wants to cause evil work. And so there's this danger here of division in the midst of the blessing. Joseph saw that. He said, I know your history. And God looks at us and says, I know you. What we need to do is we need to understand the third point, which is the power to focus on the goal. What was the goal? What did Joseph tell his brothers? Put what happened behind you. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good.
Amen.
I understand the hand of God through this. You need to understand the hand of God for this. We need to be reconciled together so we go forward and we can build a heritage for God. Because Abraham was promised that Israel would go into Egypt. And this was God's hand. We talked about the sovereignty of God on Christmas Eve. All these things. Here is now, years, hundreds of years later, and we see God moving to make God's promises happen. What we need to do is we need to keep our eyes on the prize. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 that we're supposed to set our affections on things above, not on things of the earth. We're not supposed to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. Philippians chapter 3 verse 14, we used 13 this morning about forgetting those things which are behind. And that's what Joseph is telling his brothers to do. He said, now I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. See, we're just one decision away from turning our back on God. We're one step left or right to go out of the way. And we need to keep our heart with all diligence because it is where the issues of life come from. We need to keep focused on the goal. And there's power in that. If you're a runner, you run till you get to the finish line. If you have a project in college or a project in school, you keep on doing it until you get it done. It builds perseverance. And here, God is making provision for Jacob and his family. Lastly, distractions can delay God's purpose. Distractions can defeat, not defeat God's purpose, but deny God's purpose in your life. When Paul went and dealt with the church at Galatia, he wrote back to them because there were people that were causing division, the Judaizers. It was bad doctrine that was causing the problem. Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 talks about what goes on here. It says, you did run well. See, if you're into divisions and you keep your eyes, and take your eyes off the prize, you ran well. You're not running well now. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion or this decision cometh not of him that calleth you. You're not listening to God. So if you're causing division, you're not listening to God. If you're straying off the way, you're not listening to God. If you're not reconciling, being a peacemaker, you're not doing what God wants you to do. You're out of God's will and you need to fix that. Because God said in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, he says, and Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand in the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
We need to be fit for the kingdom of God. Don't look in the rearview mirror. Don't worry about the past. Forget it. God has. And let's move forward.
Amen.
You know, there's a fight We're the soldiers of the cross.
Amen.
We need to fight for the cause of Christ, not among ourselves. Do not quarrel in the way. Let's get right with God tonight. Are you reconciled with God? Do you know Him as your Savior? Do you know of heaven as your eternal destination? If not, don't leave here tonight without getting that straight.
Amen.
For us, is there something that we have ought? It's robbing blessings. It's causing God's work to be delayed. Let's hasten the work. Let's do what God wants us to do. And let's be surrendered to Him. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for an opportunity, Lord, to gather in Your house, Lord, again. Father, help us, Lord, to follow You with all of our heart. Help us to have Your character. Help us, Lord, to have conduct worthy of You. And Father, help us not to quarrel on the way. Father, search our hearts, and if there's an issue, Lord, help us to get it resolved tonight as we begin this new year with a new thing, walking in Your grace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.